From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Today's broadcast is an encore presentation. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And today is a very special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are most certainly going to take your calls later on, but I want to spend some time speaking to Joe Dallas, a go-to person when it comes to the whole issue of the shifting sands of sexuality in our culture. But before going to Joe, I want to introduce this subject in an unmistakable fashion. In other words, I want you to understand as a listener precisely what the stakes with respect to the shifting sands of our culture are for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And in the process, I may as well introduce what I like to call my gay acronym, the G representing the fact that God has spoken. And ultimately, we have to get our standards for society from shooting stars or from the North Star. And we say the North Star is the Word of God. The A is attitude adjustment. I believe, and Joe underscores this in an article in the Christian Research Journal, that we are in sore need of an attitude adjustment. We can no longer afford to support a we-they-siege mentality against the world. We're not called to repel, we're called to reach. And then the Y in gay, yield not. Think of a yield sign with an X through it. Yield not. Again, this is something that Joe has also underscored unequivocally. We must never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. Rather, with Luther, we must say, my conscience is held captive to the Word of God. And to act against conscience is neither right nor safe. Now, why the passion for today's broadcast? Well, for me, the passion came as a result of three separate episodes encountered in one day. First, I just finished watching Conchita Wurst. She was pushing the boundaries of gender identity at Europe's annual song contest. And even saying she is to make an adjustment to the culture, because she is really he. But he's sporting sensually highlighted eyes, a heavy dose of lipstick, cheekbones accentuated through an ample volume of makeup, wearing a gorgeous spaghetti strap dress. She or he, dependent on your perspective, the bearded drag queen championed progressive ideals of Western civilization against the backward tyranny of Eastern powers like Russia, which stereotypically views the LGBTQ movement as a prime example of spiritual decay in Western Europe and America. And this was no small or trifling matter. 180 or more million viewers in Europe saw the great change that has taken place in Western civilization now crossing the ocean to our part of the West. Concurrent with Conchita, I watched ESPN proudly showcase Michael Sam kissing his lover after being drafted in the 7th round by the St. Louis Rams. And Coach Jeff Fisher hailed Sam's surpassing courage in challenging the masses to accept the LGBTQ lifestyle as viable. Fisher, in turn, himself was roundly lauded for the courage to draft Sam to begin with. As Jared Bell wrote in USA Today, ultimately Fisher might have to cut Sam, but first things first. Someone had to provide the opportunity in the name of progress. And then Jared went on to liken Sam to Kenny Washington, who broke the color barrier when he was drafted by the Los Angeles Rams in 1946. Well, shortly after seeing Conchita win the Eurovision Song Contest and Sam being drafted by the Rams, I read a Kansas City Star account of a, quote, happy, kind, sweet, considerate 6-year-old named AJ who has been determined to be transgender. The rough and tumble kid who once sported buzz cuts and dressed for his birthday as a pirate was growing her chestnut hair below her shoulders. AJ was now a girl, says the Star. And this is a huge judgment in society, according to her father, not only on her, but on us. Why? Because if we do not accept this without reservation, then we are nothing less than bigots. The narrative now is crystal clear. Those who would so much as bat an eye on the determination of a 6-year-old boy to become a girl are like the bigots who once fueled the fires of racism in America. And as the Star went on to say, the arc of history is moving quickly towards both greater tolerance and acceptance. And in evidence, they highlight multiple societal achievements, among them Barney's New York, a high-end fashion store who last month unveiled a national ad campaign in magazines, online, and in its own catalog featuring 20 transgender models. Another was a Colorado civil rights panel which ruled in June that a 6-year-old transgender girl born as a boy suffered discrimination when she was not allowed to use the girls' bathroom at her grade school. One other among the many noted by the Star was that in January, a federal appeals court ruled that the Massachusetts Department of Corrections refusal of a sex reassignment surgery for a transgender inmate was unconstitutional, a form, they said, of cruel and unusual punishment. Well, in the Christian Research Journal, Joe Dallas of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California, and author of 7 books on human sexuality, writes, quote, even a casual look at our landscape raises not the question of how we can halt same-sex marriage, but rather how we can best function as ambassadors for Christ in a society that has overwhelmingly accepted it, thereby rejecting God's definition of the most basic human institution. Says Dallas, those maintaining the traditional position are now in the minority, an uncomfortable, sometimes uncertain place. From it, we can rail against these trends, bury our heads in despair over them, or meet them responsibly as stewards of truth in a time when truth is often unwanted and unpopular. And again, this is no trifling matter. This is a matter of natural law. As Dr. J. Richards has said on this broadcast, to deny natural law is to strike a mortal blow to the foundation of a free civilization. And ever remember that the young among us are at greatest risk, as the social sciences have made all too evident and clear. The redefinition of marriage and gender devalues civil society and in the process puts the most vulnerable among us in harm's way. Well, with all of that as prologue, I want to tell you that Joe Dallas has once again made a valuable contribution to the Christian Research Journal. As many of you know, if you've been paying attention or listening to the broadcast, Joe Dallas, in my view, knows more about this subject than anybody on the planet. He has a more biblically informed view and sensitive, well-articulated perspective that reaches rather than repels than anyone that I know. And that's why I'm always privileged to have him on the broadcast as we are today. Joe, I'm so glad for the work that you do and happy to have you on the broadcast again.
Well, thank you, Hank. Great being with you again.
You know, the first question I want to ask you is this, from a prophetic sense. I mean, it seems that every single time I have you on the broadcast and then wait till the next time, in that intermittent time, the problem has been greatly exacerbated.
Yes, it's hard to keep up with this topic, isn't it, Hank? As soon as we comment on current issues, what we have said seems old-fashioned within about 2 weeks.
Some of the points that you have made over the years bear amplification, and certainly you do that in the Christian Research Journal, but the question inevitably is, how are we to live in the new normal?
That is the pressing question. I don't think we have ever been so challenged to a combination of clarity and compassion as we are now, Hank. The need for clarity is huge. And I'll tell you candidly, I'm discouraged at how many people, even within the Christian population, are calling for more ambiguity rather than clarity on this issue. We are hearing from more and more leaders the call to not be too black and white, don't be too adamant, be a little more shades of gray. And really, that is the last thing I think the church has ever been called to be. You cannot be a steward of truth if you're coy about the truth itself. But there is the need for greater compassion because we're feeling the pressure. Just as you said, Hank, the culture in shifting to such a solidly not only pro-homosexual but pro-transgender, pro-transsexual, almost asexual position is also trending towards less tolerance for a clear biblical position. We are feeling our backs against the wall, and I think a lot of us are getting angry, and I think that can lead to the very mentality you warned against, an us versus them mentality. So again, I think we need to prayerfully remember the crying need for clarity and for compassion simultaneously.
When we come back for the break, I want to talk to Joe Dallas about the transition that's happening within our culture, and we can get a glimpse of what is to come by looking at Europe. In America, there's still a lag with respect to transgenderism. That lag is not felt in Western Europe. it is still lamented about in newspapers in America. We haven't quite gotten to the place where Europe is today, and that is a great evil in our society, say the cultural sages. I want to talk to Joe about that and what that portends for the future, because the shift is coming at breathtaking speed, and unless we stop manufacturing rifles and develop a Manhattan Project in terms of cultural shift, we are going to lose the culture wars. Many have said we've lost the culture wars. But sometimes within the culture wars, there comes that seminal moment where an organization or an individual says just the right thing in the right way and starts a mighty reformation. We'll be right back with more of Joe Dallas.
It's frankly hard to comprehend that in the span of several decades, an institution as foundational to civilization as marriage has been so radically redefined. The swift acceptance of same-sex marriage is a massive cultural earthquake, resulting in the emergence of a dramatically different social landscape. The book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand firm for biblical life and truth amid this new cultural chaos. Receive these two powerful resources as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, A Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, the new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you'd just dismiss them. Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. One of the most significant social revolutions in history involves the recent radical shift in public opinion toward same-sex marriage. Given what is at stake, Christians can no longer stay silent. The book Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will equip believers to stand against this rising tide of tremendous social and historical significance. Receive the book Same-Sex Marriage, as well as the special issue of the Christian Research Journal, as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and making a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, and I'm talking to Joe Dallas. He is the founder and director of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California. He's the author of 7 books on human sexuality, all of which you can find on the web at equip.org, and he is our go-to man when it comes to talking about human sexuality and certainly the aberrations thereof. Joe, when I introduced the broadcast today, I mentioned Conchita Wurst. This is the alter ego of 25-year-old Austrian Thomas Neuwirth. And he, of course, has been pushing the boundaries of gender identity. And as a result of that, he has been roundly lauded for courage in forwarding the normalcy of transgenderism, which continues to lag behind the growing acceptance of lesbianism, being gay, bisexualism, and so forth. But I thought it'd be an interesting thing to get your comment on, because it seems that the basic lament is that it is no longer lagging behind in Europe, or Western Europe at least, but it most certainly is lagging behind yet in America. And if we get to the normalcy they have in Western Europe, it will no longer lag behind. Your insights and comments on that.
I've no doubt that the acceptance of transsexualism is right behind the widespread acceptance of homosexuality. Homosexuality, though, is for most people, in America in particular, more palatable than transsexualism, because there are so many well-known openly homosexual people that the notion of a gay man or a lesbian woman certainly doesn't carry much shock value. The notion of someone literally attempting to become the opposite sex still doesn't sit well with a high percentage of people. But I think as the gay rights movement achieves the broad acceptance of homosexuality, it will then work more aggressively to see that more prominent transsexuals are placed on the talk shows and placed in positions of influence where their visibility becomes high. And because the culture does tend to be very sheep-like in this way, the culture does listen to the talking heads. When all the talking heads are saying transsexualism is normal and more transsexuals are visible, then I think it'll be a slam dunk. I really do. And we will see the broad acceptance of transsexualism as we're seeing the broad acceptance of homosexuality.
You've already alluded to this, but talk about the narrative. For example, if you listen to the talking heads, if you read the newspapers, the narrative is always the kind of story where you see someone like Michael Sam being lauded as courageous, and those who would in any way speak out against his behaviors, not identity, but behaviors, are basically cowards. And so if someone says, oh my God, or OMG on Twitter, horrible, that person has to go to sensitivity training, pay a fine. There is no place whatsoever for an alternate opinion. You either follow the narrative as it is being laid out by a politically correct culture, or you pay the price.
And you can see that, Hank, in virtually all parts of the culture. We've got the cultural tensions. That is to say, the culture is teaching its citizens that anyone who objects to homosexuality is backwards and hateful. You've got the professional tensions. So you have individuals like these brothers who had a show scheduled to be on WGTV, and they were canceled because they were found to be Bible-believing Christians who held traditional views of the family. You've got the bakers and photographers and florists who have not wanted to do same-sex weddings, who have run into professional tension and legal tension as well. But then you've also got tensions in church life. I mean, Hank, as you know, World Vision made a decision to hire people who were in same-sex marriages. Then they rescinded that decision when a high number of people withdrew their support. You've got a book out through an evangelical publishing company by author Matthew Vines, who is openly homosexual, and the book does promote the idea that the Bible condones homosexuality. You have whole denominations, of course, revising their position. So the tension is felt culturally, professionally, legally, and in church life as well. And as you said, I don't think there's going to ultimately be any avoiding this. You're going to be counted either for or against this trend.
Talking to Joe Dallas, he is a contributor to the Christian Research Journal. The Christian Research Journal, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. We can put a copy into your hands. Simply contact me on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. The narrative, again, Joe, is maybe portrayed a bit like the Good Samaritan, except all of the characters are in inverse order. The heroes in the Good Samaritan story now are those who stand with the cultural trends, and the heels are the ones who stand against the cultural trends. And we can't do the very things that the culture thinks that Bible-believing Christians do, hold up signs, God hates fags, or cross the street when someone is in need. We need to rather emulate the motif of the master.
We do, and that's going to take, of course, a lot of prayerful consideration in the way we speak truth in this time. But we do need to remember, Hank, we're not talking about a secondary truth. We are ultimately talking about the definition of the family, the definition of the sexual union God ordained, what he did or did not intend, and how we approach the authority of Scripture in our lives. So we're really not discussing a non-essential on which we can simply agree to disagree and not consider highly important. This really gets to the very heart of disciple making. And for this reason, I stress more than ever the need not to back down. I certainly don't think we need to go on a crusade, Hank, but I think what we do need to do is lovingly but clearly hold the position, just as you quoted from Martin Luther earlier on, here I stand. It's not here I fight you, or here I get in your face, but simply here I stand. This is the clear pronouncement God has made about the definition of the family, and I will not yield that pronouncement, come what may.
Underscore, once again, just how important in your view, and certainly from a biblical perspective, this issue is.
This is about something foundational to the human experience. One of the first things we see about the human experience in its unvarnished, untainted existence in the Garden of Eden was that man was created with a particular and peculiar need for partnership, which could only be satisfied in the male-female relationship as an answer to one of his deepest, most profound set of emotional and sexual needs. And that is reiterated by Jesus in the gospel when he goes back to the Genesis account and says, "Know you not that he who created them male and female," a real underscoring of the complementary nature of the human relationship, which is, besides being a sacred relationship in and of itself, also a model of God's relationship with his people, and it's a model that ought not to be tampered with.
I mentioned earlier on, Joe, the fact that the social sciences demonstrate that children are best served by marriage defined as a father or and a mother, and that marriage redefinition at the end of the day devalues civil society and in the process damages the most vulnerable among us. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree. I think we have embarked on a social experiment at the expense of the next generation. This is something we did with no-fault divorce when we considered the desires of the adults in question more than the needs of the children in question. And at the time, as you may remember, Hank, the social scientist told us that, well, it's compassionate to allow people a no-fault divorce. The children will not be hurt. It looks as if things will be okay. And, of course, decades later, we see that that is not the case. And I am afraid that decades later, we will see that this redefinition of the marriage relationship has not been in the best interest of the next generation, simply because a man and a man or a woman and a woman cannot bring to the parenting table as effective a combination of parenting as a man and a woman can bring.
We're talking to Joe Dallas. We put together a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, which contains three critical articles by Joe Dallas. And one of those articles is titled, "When Someone You Love Says I'm Gay." The significance of this is pretty much everyone can identify with this on one level or another. Could be a family level, could be a friendship level. But the moment your emotions get involved, you deal with issues differently than you might otherwise. And so Joe is helping us to think through this issue. So the article, "When Someone You Love Says I'm Gay," is intensely relevant. Another one of the articles in the special edition of the Christian Research Journal, well, it's titled "The Transsexual Dilemma." It's a dialogue about the ethics of sex change. We've kind of touched on that, but look, we are being challenged. We're being challenged by the American Psychiatric Association, by educational institutions, by the legal system, certainly through the media. Just two of the articles that are available in this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, again, written by my friend Joe Dallas, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches literally around the world. Also, the book Same Sex Marriage, Sean McDowell, John Stone Street. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Also, access our resource, consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll be right back with Joe Dallas.
How should you respond if someone you love says, "I'm gay"? What if you are invited to attend a same-sex wedding? What if your business is asked to provide a service for a same-sex union ceremony? These questions and many others related to same-sex sexuality and transgenderism are addressed in two powerful resources: a book titled "Same-Sex Marriage: A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage," and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive both equipping resources as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. 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 Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment.
President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package which includes the book Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or call 888-7000-CRI.
The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org.
In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? To help Christians respond to same-sex sexuality and marriage, Hank Hanegraaff has put together a resource package that includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, featuring articles concerning same-sex sexuality and transgender issues by Joe Dallas and Hank. To receive these two powerful resources as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
In the Christian Research Journal, Joe Dallas of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California, the author of seven books on human sexuality, writes this. I mentioned this in the first segment, it bears repeating, says Joe, even a casual look at our landscape raises not the question of how we can halt same-sex marriage, but rather how we can best function as ambassadors for Christ in a society that has overwhelmingly accepted it, thereby rejecting God's definition of the most basic human institution. And then Joe goes on to say, those maintaining their traditional position are now in the minority, an uncomfortable, sometimes uncertain place. From it, We can rail against these trends, bury our heads in despair over them, or we can meet them responsibly as stewards of truth in a time when truth is often unwanted and unpopular. And Joe, that leads to a question I've been wanting to ask you. I mean, you've seen it just as I have seen it. The evangelical on Piers Morgan or some other secular talk show, and at the end of the interview, sometimes in the middle, sometimes at the beginning, but always during the interview, it seems like the question comes up because this is an acid test for the secular culture. Do you think homosexuals are going to go to hell? And I've often thought that if you are in that situation, you shouldn't acquiesce to the question, but rather you should say, the real question is another question. Are you a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? And if you are, you believe that he is the wisest of all men. He's God in human flesh. And therefore, as you know more about the principles and precepts of the kingdom, you conform your life to it. And in that way, I think you can... You can be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove and not fall for the narrative of the secular community.
I think oftentimes you have to reframe the issue for the sake of biblical clarity, and I think that's what you just did. You'll remember, and I think our listeners will remember, different times in the gospel accounts when people would try to trap Jesus into an either-or predicament by asking him a loaded question. And I think this is one of those. I don't think we should shy away from saying that there are many behaviors that fall short of what our Creator intended for us, and homosexuality is one of them. But I don't feel I should allow myself to be boxed into saying that if someone is homosexual, that automatically means they are going to hell, because it bypasses the critical question as to what determines whether or not someone is in the grace of God. And it certainly is not just a sexual determination.
Marriage redefinition, and you've talked about this a lot in the journal and elsewhere in your books and your talks around the world. Marriage redefinition, it erodes the rational basis for rejecting aberrations ranging from, well, polygamy to incest. And as one can well imagine, the social impact on women and children is draconian. Talk about this slippery slope, and is this notion of the aberrations of polygamy and incest now having a rational basis on the basis of the arguments that are now being used for same-sex marriage? Is that real, or is that maybe a canard?
Of course it's real, and it's very rational. I understand that the slippery slope argument can be overused, but the fact is, whenever you begin tampering with basic definitions, you must open the door to many different redefinitions. But that tampering didn't begin with same-sex marriage. We talked earlier in the show, Hank, about no-fault divorce. And if you look at what led to such a casual view of marriage vows, that was largely the sexual revolution of the 60s, which absolutely paved the way for the acceptance of homosexuality. Now, interestingly enough, in the 60s sexual revolution, homosexuality generally was not approved of, but the redefinition of normal, that is, the throwing off of restrictions like monogamy and chastity, that opened up the door via a slippery slope to the acceptance of homosexuality, which is now opening up the door to the acceptance of, just as you said, polygamy, adult incestual relationships, certainly transsexualism. You can't with integrity argue against these alternative forms of adult-to-adult sexual relating once you have redefined and basically revised the definition of marriage. And polygamists are very aware of this, which is why they're pushing for their piece of the pie as we speak.
Talking about the biological reality of sexual reproduction, I mean, it seems that biology oftentimes is lost in the conversation. Every organ in the human body is self-sufficient to perform an intended function except one. Natural reproduction always, always, always requires a coupling of male and female.
pretty hard to get around that. I mean, when you start talking natural biology, you get back to one of the first things we think of when we think of sexual aberrations. And that's true whether we're talking about homosexuality or you brought up the issue earlier of transgenderism and transsexualism. These all, in essence, call us to bypass the obvious and accept a revision of the obvious being we are made anatomically in a way that clearly speaks to heterosexuality as the intention and as the norm. And I think that there is ingrained in us, and Hank, I mean even ingrained in the non-believer, in the unregenerate woman or man, there is a sense of the naturalness of that. And I think that is why people, if they are not indoctrinated, would automatically reject the idea of homosexuality because it so contradicts what anatomy testifies to. People have to be educated to bypass that, which, of course, is the goal of the pro-gay education programs in school. That is to bypass a child's natural disinclination to accept homosexuality as normal, based not on the Bible necessarily or on morality, but on biology.
You know, I found out, Joe, over the years that many people within the LGBTQ, as it's now called, community, tune into the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and some may be listening to your voice right now and thinking, you know, Joe sounds like a coherent individual, but what does he really know about our lifestyle? And I think it's always helpful for you to let them know that you've been there.
Oh, I have been there. My gosh, I spent about 6.5 years as a very active member of the gay community in the late 70s and early 80s. I was also on staff with a pro-gay church, and I was very committed to not only promoting the idea that homosexuality is normal, but that it is compatible with Christianity. And I remember very well what it felt like to be looked down on, to be called names, to be seen as weird. And I remember also the frustration of knowing that I had feelings that I had not asked for nor chosen. And yet, despite not having asked for those feelings, there they were. And I felt very helpless to do anything about it other than to embrace them, and very angry that people were telling me there was something wrong with me for embracing them. So nobody needs to tell me of the difficulties that can go along with being different. And nobody needs to tell me that in many ways, homosexual people have been mistreated and viewed very contemptuously. But none of that calls for us to attempt to revise what God has so clearly stated. And I think that what we are seeing today is a massive international attempt at revisionism at the most basic level, right down to the scripture itself.
A final question. How do you deal the divide, even in the church, between generations, the younger generation, having grown up in such a way that the community that we're talking about really represents the new normal?
I talk with my own sons about this a good deal, Hank, and I've really gotten an education on how young people feel, not just about homosexuals, but about the way my generation has handled this issue. And many of their criticisms are absolutely valid. I mean, they point to a lot of irresponsible, mean-spirited things that many evangelicals, even evangelical leaders, have at times said. And so they reject that, but in rejecting it too often, they're also rejecting what Scripture itself has to say about homosexuality. Now, many young evangelicals, many young conservative believers, are simply not interested in fighting the culture war on the issue, but they privately do not approve of homosexuality. Others, sadly, are unclear. And as you probably know, there are many in the upcoming generation who are not well biblically grounded. And so the question that Paul asked what saith the scripture is for many of them not the primary question, and it should be. So in that sense, I think that our responsibility is to help them get back to the authority of the scripture in determining our moral and our doctrinal positions.
Joe, as always, thank you so much for the time that you spent with us and the knowledge we've been able to glean as a result so that we can make a difference.
Well, thank you, Hank. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate it.
God bless you, my friend. The bottom line is this. We can stand up to the relentless assaults on truth and life, and we can win for our children and grandchildren a promising future, or we can fail to heed the call to stand together and thus accelerate our nation's descent into a chilling dark age. Imagine the irony where Russia now is rebuffing the West because of its decadence and lack of spirituality. Who would have thought? And right now, we are in a situation where we can either yield to political correctness or be able to communicate what we believe and why we believe it with gentleness and with respect. And we pray that many will stand with the Christian Research Institute as we continue to be a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. Less than 20 years ago, only a quarter of the United States population supported same-sex marriage. Today, 4 out of 5 voters think that same-sex marriage will be legal throughout the United States within 5 to 10 years, many believing it won't take even that long. The question is, now what? As biblically committed Christians, where do we go from here? To equip you with well-reasoned responses to questions surrounding same-sex sexuality and marriage, Hank Hanegraaff has put together a resource package that includes the book Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Joe Dallas and Hank. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you these 2 powerful resources. Just call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas.
To receive the same-sex marriage resource package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.